So we remain standing for our gospel reading. David is particularly going to speak from this passage, I think. So you might like to turn to it in your pew Bibles, Mark chapter 14, verse 32, which can be found on page 1021. Mark 14, verse 32, page 1021.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back again, he found them sleeping, because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Do you keep that passage open on page 1021? It's a real
Lord, we thank you for the death of the Lord Jesus. We pray that we would understand it better as we step around the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. This is a very precious passage to me. It is where I first got what Easter is all about. And often when I give my testimony, this is the passage that I keep coming back to. And it's fair to say, if we don't find ourselves loving Jesus as we look at these passages, we haven't understood it. So, what is going on in Gethsemane? The closest parallel I can come up with in my head is a couple of months ago. If you remember the World Cup and the Argentina football team. And it's often said about the Argentina football team that one player has been carrying the whole team, and that's Lionel Messi. And that tends to be the only player that people can remember from Argentina, because it's often said by the pundits that he carries the team. And in very much a similar way, we see that there is one person in this passage who is carrying the whole team. And that is Jesus, faithful Jesus versus unfaithful disciples. We see a very big contrast. And the purpose of including this account in Mark's Gospel is so that we, like the woman who smashed her expensive perfume flask at Jesus' feet right at the beginning of chapter 14, that like her, we would adore Jesus because of his death. So as we look at this account, we're going to see the contrast of unfaithful disciples and faithful Jesus. So let's start with unfaithful disciples. Jesus has just predicted that his disciples will desert him. He said, "You will all fall away." And Peter sort of agrees with Jesus. He says, "Well, even if they will, I won't." even if they all fall away, I will not. And yet, as we read, three times do we find the disciples asleep. Jesus goes away and prays, and verse 37, Jesus comes, Simon, are you asleep? And then Jesus comes back in verse 40. He finds them sleeping. And then in verse 41, are you still sleeping and resting? Three times Jesus finds his disciples asleep, foreshadowing how Peter will deny Jesus three times. But let's remember, before we judge Peter, he is no wimp. He is someone who is committed to Jesus. He dropped his fishing nets when Jesus called him. He was taught by Jesus for 3 years, and he was the one who confessed that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the best of us. But even now, he cannot endure. And if he can't, then we can't either. And Jesus explains what is going on in verse 38. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Our human nature. We cannot save ourselves. And as Jesus goes into this crucial moment, it is very clear that he is doing it alone. The burden of the world stands on his shoulders alone. And this rescue that he is doing will be done by one person. That is the Lord Jesus. How does this make us feel about humanity? We have no hope. There's no point in looking at this and thinking we could do better or try harder. Here is a man who left everything to follow Jesus. No hope for humanity. And as followers of Jesus, we should understand that. As we look around in our news, as we see the world events, it was in 1992, just after the end of the Cold War, there was a political scientist called Francis Fukuyama. And he wrote in 1992, just after the fall of the Soviet Union, that we have reached the end of history, the triumph of liberal democracy. What a moment that felt like. And yet here we are. Here we are. Sometimes as we look at the news, like we're back in the Cold War again. Jesus shows us that the flesh is weak. And so the right response is that we put our hands up. We put our hands up. No hope for humanity. But as we look at this reading, we see that God does not want us to despair. He wants us to be desperate for Jesus. We cannot save ourselves. So it's worth asking this Maundy Thursday, how desperate are we for Jesus? Not only in those times when we feel the obvious crisis in our lives and we call out to him, but how desperate are we for Jesus? Lord, forgive me for what I know I've done wrong, for when I don't know I've done wrong. Lord, I'm finding it hard right now. Whatever happens, help me not to turn from you. Give me Jesus. Lord, I'm doing well this week. Please help me to depend on you and follow you and not myself. Please would I not forget you. Unfaithful humanity, and yet we also see faithful Saviour, saving us alone. Jesus is facing the hour, his death. He knows that it is near. He says in verse 41, the hour has come. And Jesus knows that he could still escape. He could run away from the whole thing. He knows it's going to happen. He knows the people that are coming to arrest him. He could just run a mile the other way. And as we read, here he is praying. You see how he felt? He began in verse 33 to be deeply distressed. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. he is overwhelmed. And he says, in verse 36, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. He knows he's going to drink the cup. It's picture language. And as we read, this cup is picture language for the judgment and justice of God falling against sin. The wrath of God. The cup of God's anger against our sin. Not God flying off the handle, but his perfect justice. The same justice that we long for when we look at the news and see the injustices happening across our world and in our country. The justice that we long for. The cup, Jesus is going to drink it. If you imagine the penalty for everything wrong that we've done, and just imagine it could be put in a cup. The penalty for our arrogance and our selfishness, our anger, the times we walked on by when we saw someone in need, the time we spoke against someone, the time we reacted in greed. Just imagine every penalty going into one cup, and it's there, it's sloshing around. It needs to be drunk to the dregs. And Jesus, he's holding this cup. Take this cup from me. God, if there is any other way to save the world, please tell me now. Please do it. That is what Jesus is asking his Father. If there's any other way, could it be anything but this, but drinking the cup? But Jesus is completely resolved to his Father's will. He says this, these powerful words in verse 36, yet not what I will, but what you will. Yet not what I will, but what you will. If there is no other way, Father, I want to do it. Jesus waits for the reply. And the heavens are silent. The heavens fall silent. And Jesus begins to know that there is no other way. There is no other way for people to be forgiven. So in this moment, Jesus chooses the cup. Isn't it amazing how when Jesus comes back from praying, he is actually leading his disciples forward. He knows what is going to happen more than they know. And yet here he is leading them forward to the people coming to arrest Jesus. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. So how does this make us love Jesus? I don't know what is the biggest thing you've ever given up for Jesus. Maybe it was a job. Maybe it was something expensive that you gave up. Maybe it was a relationship you broke away from. I wonder how you felt at the time when you gave away that thing up for Jesus. I think I often feel so conflicted over giving up such trivial things for Jesus. And perhaps in those moments we feel even a little bit bitter at God at that time. And yet here we have Jesus who held nothing back from us. He chose to experience the force of that judgment on sin, the experience of hell, so that we would not have to. He chose that for us. No limits. Behold, faithful Jesus and his faithful love. So my one question for us is, do we love Jesus? As we retrace those steps in Gethsemane, can we associate with the woman at the beginning of chapter 14 who breaks the alabaster flask, who loves and worships Jesus at his feet with tears of joy because of his death? Let's pray that we would do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you that when we were faithless, you were faithful. Please grow us in love for Jesus as we respond to his death, as we are amazed that he held nothing back from us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Shall we continue together in prayer? In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to the Father, through Christ, the Saviour of the world. Father, on this night he was betrayed, your Son Jesus Christ washed his disciples' feet. Give us grace to follow his example of love and service. On this night, Jesus prayed that his disciples would be one. We pray for the unity of your church. Make us one in the truth of the Lord Jesus. On this night, Jesus prayed for all those who would believe through his disciples' message. We pray for the mission of your church, and particularly for this Easter, for the joyful proclamation of the good news of the cross and resurrection. In particular, we pray for your